Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, things.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta! What is going on? Coming off of a President's Day weekend. Hope you enjoyed it. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, I know you enjoyed it, Mr. Man. Look how lucky you are. You get off of a plane, first class, and then you're about to step back onto a plane tomorrow.
Yeah, man, Vegas was great. Had a ball out there. And, man, there's already a buzz about Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder 2. Wilder Fury 2, there's already a buzz. Met some folks from England. They got in on Saturday, Carl, getting it in for an entire week. So, yeah, man, a lot of fun. And they got to catch a hockey game. You did that a few years back. See the Knights in person and how much I miss. Just made me think about the Thrashers, man, how much I miss hockey. But anyway, great weekend. And my wife won enough for a new washer dryer.
Hey, that's what's up. I mean, for somebody that doesn't really like to gamble, that's really nice that you win a little bit.
Well, while I'm getting crushed at the craps table, she's playing Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah. penny slots? What did she win on?
She was on a dollar machine and took home. She won $1,200.
That's awesome.
So she's going to know it. She wants a new washer and dryer. I'm like, well, giddy up.
Yeah.
So, knock it out.
Listen, that's the way it happens. Michelle doesn't like gamble a whole lot either. I'm usually the one rolling around out there. I need some more money. But that's how it is. She walked out of a casino one time, put a coin in, and was just like, let me see what happens. Ding, 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 ding. And these old ladies come running out of nowhere.
Right.
We've been playing on this machine all day. That's our money.
Good luck with that.
So we literally had, you know, the security, and they come over. And I think she went, I don't know, maybe $700 or $800, but that's a lot of money when you don't gamble a whole lot. Either way, a win is a win. But we're headed back out there, as Mike mentioned, for the Wilder Fury Fight 2, which is coming up on Saturday. We'll tell you more about that. Some cool stuff on the website previewing this fight that I think could potentially save boxing. But we got to talk about what's going on today.
Right. And we've got baseball, obviously. And, you know, we don't want to rehash everything, but we will at some point cover that NBA All-Star game that was just arguably, I know we don't be prisoner of the moment, but just fantastic for so many reasons.
No, it really was. But today, Mike, the sports world, for the most part, and Drew Brees does announce that he's returning for 2020, which just happened about an hour or so ago, and a lot of people are talking about that. But we'll get to that in our NFL Blitz about an hour from now. Everybody's still reacting to this Astros sign-stealing scandal. And what happened over the weekend is Rob Manfred, who's the commissioner of baseball, was down at the new facility for the Braves, okay? And this was the first time that people got a chance to ask him questions and talk about it as he basically, you know, talked about how wonderful it was for the Braves to have this new facility. But today, a guy that we absolutely love, I hope they give him enough rest this year so we can have him ready for potentially a playoff run, and that's Nick Markakis, speaks up and speaks out on this whole Astros thing. And, Mike, it's got the world buzzing because here's a guy that never says anything, really doesn't criticize anybody, just shows up, he's a professional, does his job, he's a professional hitter, he's one of the best at his position. And he comes out and says a few things. And I want you to hear one of the things Nick Markakis said today about the Astros.
It's anger. I feel like every single guy over there needs a beating. They're messing with people's careers. I know we're all competitive and we're out there competing, but there's right ways to do it and wrong ways to do it. And I 100% disagree with the way they did it.
Now that comment, and specifically, they need a beating, has a lot of people outraged. And I'm talking about Astro fans and people responding. And Dusty Baker, their manager, responded to it in a coy way today. But here's the deal. Is he wrong for saying what he said?
No, I think he's just saying what a lot of baseball players are feeling. And credit to Nick, as you said, and Dusty, you'll play the soundbite of Dusty Baker, which was really kind of funny. He did the kind of like the passive-aggressive slow roll, taking a little shot at Markakis. But Nick is, I think, speaking for a lot of fans, certainly speaking for a lot of players. You heard the comments on Friday, if you didn't, of Trevor Bauer, who said, look, I knew these guys were dirty for 2 years, and they were calling me a dirtbag. Yeah, Astros were calling him a guy that's full of crap and just trying to, you know, be a muckraker. So there's a lot of people who said it's one thing if you're going to cheat, you better be humble. To be cheating and puffing your chest out and walking around like Billy Badass while you've got an unfair advantage at home, that's why a lot of people agree with what Nick said.
People want the Astros. I think Astro fans now want the Astros to become the heel, right? They want them to become the bad guys in wrestling. Walk out. You think you can mess with us? They want this right. Show, and it doesn't happen that way. The hubris of these guys and the way they've come off the last week, especially after the owner, Jim Crane, said what he said, was ridiculous. So Markakis wasn't done. Here's something else about Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, that our own Nick Markakis said today.
I think they got off pretty easy. You know, they're going to be able to go out there and compete with no ramifications at all, which is wrong, and I think the commissioner completely handled it the wrong way. But, you know, that's the way he did it, and, you know, that's the way we got to live with it. But, you know, I know a lot of people disagree with him, and the way he handled the situation, he should be embarrassed of himself.
So there's two sides of this, right? There's one, I'm PO'd because as a player, I bust my butt.
Mm-hmm.
I don't cheat. I compete. I do things the right way. And these guys cheat and don't want a championship. The other part of it is, okay, now that we know this, what does the commissioner do in the response to the information that's out there? And Nick Markakis is right. The commission handled this completely wrong.
Yeah, and the thing with Rob Manfred, I got to be honest, if you've listened to the show over the years, I really thought after Bud Selig, who was the biggest stooge because he was an owner for the owners, but I thought after Selig was gone, Manfred was actually starting to get some things right, realizing, Carl, you got to pick up the pace of the game. There's some things which just don't play in the 2020. And now you realize he's just another empty suit. You know, you've got to come up with a penalty for the players. I think maybe they didn't realize it at first, but I think you have to be able to pivot. Don't box yourself into a corner with it's only going to be guys that were managers or coaches. So then the players are involved. Now people are saying, and we've talked about it last week, how about a 25-game suspension for everybody on the team, and you could stagger it over the course of the season. Yes, the Astros won't win anything, and that'll be fair. A lot of people say, if you're not going to strip them of the World Series, here's another way to basically screw the organization. But I think now you've got to realize, Carl, you've got to vacate that 27 World Series. Yeah. And then Manfred makes it 10 times worse. And maybe he was just getting ornery with the reporters because they were getting after him in that 45-minute interview that he did on the teleconference. But to call the World Series trophy just a piece of metal.
Weeks.
Which is like, there's no point just taking back a piece of metal. That set off everybody who plays the game.
It does, and it should have. And you know, there are some people already saying, Rob Manfred, go ahead and step down. Dude, what are you making $22 million a year for? You should be solving problems, not creating more. And, you know, as I heard this, I'm trying to give Rob the benefit of the doubt. But let's be honest, he's mismanaged this whole situation. And now you got all these guys that you would never even think would PO'd, like Nick Markakis,
right,
mad. What happens? Like, where does this go? So now Rob Manfred over the weekend comes out and the commission says, you know what? We're not going to allow teams to throw at the Astros. It's not good for the game. We won't have it. I'm going to put memos out. We're going to tell everybody this is not what's going to happen. Let me tell you guys a secret, being in those clubhouses. It won't matter. Guys will still do it because they will think it's justice within the game.
Right.
And I'm not telling you they're throwing at guys' heads. Okay? They're not trying to give somebody brain damage. There's a difference. But guys will
still... You're going to punk a guy in the back and a butt. Exactly.
Guys will still do it, Mike, because they think it's justice. And more importantly, they'll take the fine. Because they're pissed off. They don't care. And that goes for the Braves, the Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers, Mariners. I don't care what team you're talking about. So this now becomes a situation where commission handle it. We got it.
It's going to be street justice. If the baseball, again, if the manager, you said it, you laid it out there, man. If the office of the commissioner will not handle this, we will manage the situation ourselves. And then for Manfred to come out there and go, no, we won't have you guys beating the, get out of here. I mean, every way you could mishandle this situation, Rob Manfred has done it. I mean, you'd think when you get to be at that position, you'd have some kind of handle on public relations and the court of public opinion. And whoever's feeding him the information, his minions, I mean, it just shows you completely how out of touch. It doesn't drive you crazy. Our two favorite sports, football, baseball, basketball is right there. And you get idiots that are in charge of this thing and don't get it. And the worst, Carlos, don't care one iota about the fan.
None. None. Not right now, it doesn't look that way, especially when you're saying that piece of metal. Well, then you know what? Give me my money back, Rob. Yeah,
thanks for devaluing something we've all been playing for. You know, the big oval with all the pennants on it, yeah. Made of gold. You know, I mean, it just when you read this stuff and you're saying to yourself, how do you get to be in this position? How do you? And it just shows you they're all clueless. They're all just yes men. They're just morons that work for the owners.
Mike, I think this showed us that he's out of touch. And that's the part. It's one thing to say, all right, I disagree with the policy or the ruling. And I know there are hardcore baseball fans that are listening to this conversation. They're going, you guys do realize that he had to give those players immunity to get the information. We do. You guys do realize that by doing that, they had to tell the Astros, hey, here are the rules, and this is why we're going to suspend your players, and they didn't do that. We do. I understand that they were stuck between a rock and a hard place, but this is where you want change. This is where you want foresight and vision to say, all right, you know what? There is no precedent. Well, Rob Manfred, now there is, and now you need to do something about it. And I understand the labor issues and the grievances that would have been filed, and you feel like you would have lost them. I get all of that. That doesn't change the way these guys feel.
And that's it. I mean, yes, the players' union will probably step up. That's why I picked the number 25 games. And I think that's something I think players would have some respect for. I think you'd realize you're losing pay by that suspension without pay. Okay, that's part of it. And then we can all get on with our lives. But you've got to vacate that 2017. There is no World Series champion that year. Dodgers don't want it. They've already said it. They're on record. So let's do that.
Just put a mark by it.
But you're right. You can pivot and still you can still save this PR disaster. But you're running out of time. And every minute that goes by, you just look like you're just an idiot. More incompetent every time he opens his mouth.
Follow us, guys, across all social media platforms. The radio station, 929 The Game. That's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Follow Mike at Mike Bell, ATL. And I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes. The radio show is Dukes and Bell, 929. We would love to hear from you throughout the course of the afternoon. Here until 7. Lots of stuff coming off the weekend. As we said, we're headed out there to Vegas for the big fight this weekend. But when we come back, speaking of the Braves, they hand out extensions. And how important was that? We'll get to that next.
I hope that I made it extremely clear to them that retaliation in game by throwing at a batter intentionally will not be tolerated, whether it's Houston or anybody else. It's dangerous and it is not helpful to the current situation.
This is Jim Rome with the CBS.
Quick reminder, guys, join the Hawks during Peachtree Night as they take on the Heat. That's Thursday. They get back to it after the All-Star break. That's February 20th. Tickets on sale now. Get your tickets today at hawks.com/tickets. It is Dukes and Bell. Lots of folks chiming in on this whole Nick Markakis conversation. Mike and I were just talking off air, and it's something that I think casually was brought up on this show a couple of weeks ago when I said, two guys that played with those Astros teams were part of our Braves teams over the last 2 years. Dallas Keuchel, didn't say anything while he was here. And then the guy we love in Brian McCann, and I brought this up. I don't want to point the finger at Brian McCann and say this was solely his fault. But I did say, Mike, being a 14-year vet at the time, being in that Astros clubhouse, he had more clout than a lot of guys. And he could have easily said, hey, as a vet, the guy that's been around, I'm not digging this. And he says, allegedly, through somebody else, that he tried to stop this. I don't know what the truth is.
Right. And the article in the AJC, and again, at some point, we're going to get the definitive book or something will be written about this this Astros cheating scandal. We'll get, you know, what were the internal conflicts, if any, because we heard, you know, the manager, AJ Hinch, wasn't happy about it, but not upset enough to stop it. And, you know, you and I were talking about this last week. You brought it up. Brian McCann is like the law and order man when it comes to baseball. And I'm not trying to be mean because I love Brian. We used to have him on the show years ago at my other station. But, you know, Brian's a guy, if a batter is looking down, trying to maybe catch a glimpse of the signs, he'd stand up and next thing you know, he'll be joined with that guy right there at the dish. You know, we had all those run-ins with the Marlins over the years. You know, if Brian thought a guy was showboating around the base paths, he's going to step up and say something. So, okay, you're all for that old school unwritten rule stuff. But here you basically broke the basic law, the basic rule that everybody else now wants to beat you guys up over. So it just seems like, you know, Brian is just, I mean, if he did do it, we weren't in the room. We don't know how it went down over the course of the season. But to me, unfortunately, Brian is just as tainted as anybody else who wore that Astros uniform that year.
Here's the other part. This may be too much for this moment. But, Mike, we always think that we're powerless, right? We all think, well, I can't do anything about it. And this goes for real life sports, me too, right?
Right, right.
I can't do anything about it. And I love when people use that excuse. And that's what irks me about this whole situation. It's not as if there were not guys in that clubhouse. Oh, dog, I can't do nothing about it. Bull. You could have. You chose not to. And so if it took the Stones to stand up and say, hey, you know what? Man, this is just not right. I'm sorry. And we got to stop this. And if that meant turning in your manager and your GM, you know what? Oh, you ruffle some feathers. But everybody always says, well, just, you know, I don't have any power. And it's not true. And it's not true in sports. It's not true in life. And we've seen that on many occasions. That's the part that irks me, because there were guys in that clubhouse who could have.
You know, it's one thing because you've got, don't forget, in the American League, the pitchers aren't really hitting save for, you know, postseason or when they're over there in the National League teams. How do those pitchers for the Astros feel about that? You know, if that's you, if that's, you know, anybody, and if Verlander got there later on coming over as a, you know, as a trade acquisition, but still, you know, that's, as a pitcher, you're like, wow, man, it's pretty messed up. I wouldn't, that's just not cool. So when all those guys, all got, well, you know, hear no evil, see no evil, like, you know, I mean, say, speak no evil. It is weird, the team dynamic we talked about. Nobody likes a rat. We've seen it in law enforcement. We've seen it in the military. And again, I'm not trying to compare baseball to the military, Carl, but there is a code. You know, there's a code of silence, basically. It's like the mob. So again, now you combine that with, and this is also the generational thing. Nobody wants to rock the boat because everybody's soft. Everybody's going to go along with it. So there you have it.
There is a code. You're right, bro. 404-741-0929. It is Dukes and Bell. Meanwhile, the news that happened over the weekend outside of Rob Manfred and his comments, and now Nick Markakis today, is that the Braves extend Snicker, and they also give Alex Anthopoulos a couple of new titles and extend him as well through 2024. He's going to be president, baseball ops, and general manager, and his contract, as I just mentioned, through 2024. Snicker, Mike, goes through 2021, which is great because you don't have a lame duck manager. Listen, I think this is the argument for most Braves fans. I got to see what Snicker does in the playoffs. We keep getting there, and now, for whatever reason, I don't blame him for Folty's meltdown last year. But at some point, Mike, you have to start managing or looking at the manager and saying, how are we progressing in this process?
I mean, I think there's been some years, like 2 years ago, when how you do all the juggling of the rotation, and you think about some of the injuries he's had to deal with. So there are some things that, you know, I could say are positive about Snicker. Look, if you're watching every single Braves game over the course of 162, you're going to be unhappy with a bunch of decisions. That's just the nature of it. Manager, I think I've always felt, can do all he can do really is screw things up, Carl, as opposed to sometimes let the rhythm of the game play out. So I'm not sold on giving Snicker any more than what he got. I don't think Snicker's a great manager. I think he's an okay manager. And I think this team is underachieved in the postseason because we got enough talent to win all those games. 2 years ago against the Dodgers, you were outmatched. Last year, you blew it. So I don't know. Anyone who's going to get all hurt feelings about Snicker just getting popped for another year on this deal, so what? You know, it's not like you got Connie Mack over here. Let's just slow your roll.
Nice reference, by the way. All right, so Snick is 64. How can you be? You can't be upset about this.
He's a great, nice guy. Good guy. But again, but I always think about this. You know, what's that line from Glengarry, Glenn Ross? Nice guy, family man. Go home, play with your kids. Who cares? I got to win the World Series while I got this window now.
This window. And so, I mean, it's a good move by the Braves. I have no issues with it. Specifically about Alex Anthopoulos. I've been saying this for, you know, the last couple of seasons. Everything he's done, even though some of it, like last year, the reactive thing, we're going to wait to see. Luke Jackson's a disaster. Okay, we need to go address it. Right. And then you went out and spent all this money on the bullpen. But at least they did it. Like, they could have completely said, we're just going to, you know, stay the course, and we would have sucked the rest of the way. He didn't settle for that. So I do think there's something that is the way Alex Anthopoulos is doing business with the Braves. Mm. Think about this. We lose Josh Donaldson. We're still not sitting here going, what are we going to do? We lose Donaldson, plan B, boom, Ozuna on the phone. There's something to be said about that and planning and having B plans and C plans, Mike. Now, does it all work? We'll see when the season rolls around. But right. I do like, and that's how he's judged. He's not judged with the managing moves on the field and pitching changes. He's judged by, here are the players that I'm providing you, and we think they're good enough for you to win a world championship.
Now, again, we know with Fried and Soroka, last year you had to watch out about load management, the young arms, and, you know, as John Smoltz will come on our show and he goes bananas because these guys never get pushed and they never get to learn how to pitch out of some of these jams. I always think that Snicker has too soon a hook. I mean, to me, it's like, let the young guys get the experience and figure out how to do it. So that's one of my arguments. So again, that's why when I saw the extension, I said, okay, that's fine. It's not overdue. Now the Falcons would give a guy a 6-year extension. At least the Braves are just giving you one on top of the one you got. So this you know what, this makes perfect sense. And I think, you know, if you think it's unfair to Snicker, either you're a relative or too close to it.
Let's hear from Dansby Swanson. This is Dansby on Brian Snicker's extension.
He's done a great job in getting us to where we are now and helping navigate us through the down years and then now win the division the last 2 years and then obviously more things to come. So he's done a great job and he's an awesome guy. He definitely puts a smile on my face.
So, listen, I think most of the guys in that clubhouse love him. Freddie was very complimentary of him yesterday when they heard about this. I wouldn't expect anything less. We said this when he got the job as an interim. All these young guys, when we had like one of the top farm systems in the in Major League Baseball, and we said, well, this guy's perfect because he knows a lot of these guys that are coming up. But now you're getting to a point where these guys are developing,
right.
Developed in some cases. Mike said it. We're in our window. And so here's the thing. If we win this division again, 3 years in a row. We go to playoffs again, 3 years in a row. Now I got to start judging the manager as to the results.
And this goes back to the argument, about Bobby Cox. I mean, if you find yourself getting to a wall and you're not getting any further, let's hope that this general manager and this type of this time the organization has the foresight to say, let's change the approach. Because that's not a shot against Bobby, but I thought, there were some World Series that were left on the table.
Right.
And you always said, no, he's the only guy because the players all love him to death. Because again, good guy, we get all that. It's an easy clubhouse that he runs. But at some point, you got to look at everything and say, I can't move 25 players. I can change the manager. And managers get fired all the time. But here, we're not in Atlanta. We can roll with it, man. So let's hope that he does push the right buttons, that we're going to be able to call at the trade deadline if we got to go get something. I think Alex has shown he'll be able to do that. I just worry because I think this year the NL East is going to be more competitive. You got two other really good teams. I'm not sure about the Mets, but I do think Phillies and Nats for sure are going to be in that mix.
I do too. And everybody, by the way, the NL East spent the most money in baseball than any other division. Right, and it doesn't look like we did, but think about all the guaranteed deals that we did in the bullpen, and then again, Ozuna. You go out, you add all that up, and then you go look at what the Phillies and the Nationals did to secure the guys that they have on that roster. East spent more money than anybody. Outside of the Dodgers making that trade for Betts, but we knew that's going to be expensive down the road.
Diamondbacks went and got Madison Bumgarner, but that was one of the few moves that they made. So, there were some things going down, but it is going to be very interesting. I mean, this is one of those years, to the point about the initial conversation about Snicker, he's going to have to earn it this year because there are going to be some tougher games.
Yeah, there is. I like the move. I don't think you could be upset about it. To Mike's point, though, now to me, this is when the clock starts ticking. Especially for Brian Snicker. I think Alex Anthopoulos, if you continue to put guys in place and have a great farm system and you've got things that you're doing as a GM to put guys out there on the field, now it's up to the manager to make it work. 404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We are live inside the Kia studios. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. Mike mentioned the All-Star game. Boy, was it great. We're going to get into it as part of our headline segment. And remember, today, we always on Tuesdays have our Gym of the Week, as Mike Conti gives you our Gym of the Week. You listen to it, and then later in the 6 o'clock hour, you'll have a chance to win a $100 Solomon Brothers gift card. So stay tuned and make sure you know who the Gym of the Week is. But we're going to talk about this All-Star game, man. And by the way, stop killing Trey. If you're like, well, he didn't play as well as it's an All-Star game.
And by the way, there is a time-honored tradition in the All-Star game of treating rookies and second-year players like crap. George Karl did it to Kobe years ago, okay, famously. That's why Kobe always loved to stick to the George Karl's teams in the Western Conference. So in the case of Trey, yes, you're going to earn those stripes. I'm just glad we had a Trey moment to talk about that made SportsCenter, that had his teammates going bananas when he hits that half-court shot. So that was kind of cool. But the story, obviously, was Kawhi and certainly, Giannis and LeBron. We'll get into it. But the good news was it was one of the most entertaining exhibition games we've seen in any sport. I mean, they put up there with the baseball, summer classic. It was fantastic.
It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.
He cares about us as persons more than players. He deserves it. He really does. I fought for him after the 2016 season because I knew how special he was to lead this team. And for him to get rewarded over and over and over again with the non-championship side, and now it's time for us to reward him on that side.
Time now for the Salomon Brothers Jewelers Gem of the Week.
This week's Salomon Brothers Jewelers Gem of the Week is Georgia Tech's Jose Alvarado, who led the Jackets to an upset win over then number 5 Louisville last Wednesday with 18 points, including 4 game-clinching free throws. It was the first time in over 4 years that Georgia Tech beat a team ranked in the AP Top 5 and ended Georgia Tech's 17-game losing streak against teams ranked in the Top 25. Head into Salomon Brothers Jewelers and mention my name, Mike Conti, and receive the Gem of the Week Game Changer discount of 10% off. Certain exclusions apply.
That was your Salomon Brothers Jewelers Gem of the Week. Keep listening. Tell us who the Gem of the Week is, and you could win a $100 Salomon Brothers gift card. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Strap in, youngins.
In the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Let's start first with the All-Star Game. Mike, what'd you think of the format?
First off, it was great. It was kind of funny to be in a sports book at a casino to watch how people were betting this thing. Because as the quarter would roll up and end, everyone would run to the cages and either get their winnings and then bet on that next quarter because they have a vibe about how they thought it was going to go. I'm not sure what the bet was for the second quarter, but when Trey hit that to half-court shot, a bunch of guys lost their minds, so I presume they took the over. They had all these different combinations you could bet quarter by quarter in real time, so it was kind of neat. But as far as the game itself, the tribute to Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gianna and obviously to all the other victims of the helicopter crash, it's a melancholy moment, but it was also electric because you have a game traditionally is like a bad Harlem Globetrotters, like Washington Generals type deal, and then you've got real stops, Giannis blocking LeBron, having to go to a video to check it out and replay all the big moments, the Harden shot, the foul. I mean, it was like a real playoff game for an All-Star game, which you never see. So this worked great.
I think so too, man. And here's the deal. We might have found the formula. Remember, there's $500,000 in charities that were donated. So it's not just like these guys were playing for the fun of it. But there was something to be said up for the fun of it. Mike, for me, it was walking into a gym and seeing guys going, what's game? We're going to 15.
Right.
And you got the best players in the world going, first team to 15 wins. It's on. Like, guys playing hard, and we just don't see that. So I love the format. Here's Trae Young talking about the All-Star game.
Yeah, I think it's super exciting. Super exciting for the fans, super exciting for the players. You see how everybody was locked in. I think all of those fouls being called late made all the players emotional on both teams. Definitely a format I think we should keep it going.
By the way, Kawhi, 30 points, 8 for 14 from beyond the arc. He was tremendous. Started early shooting, and Mike, he was hot. It was his game. And then, obviously, he's awarded the Kobe Bryant MVP award, which now that will forever hold his name, and rightfully so. So, you know, as so many guys said, I saw something from CP3. He said, Bean, which is Kobe, he said, I hope we, you know, represented you right, because Kobe was always a guy that wanted to go out and compete in this game. And I think they did that with this particular All-Star game. Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell. It's our headline segment. Let's hear from LeBron talking about what he thought this was going to be and what it turned out to be.
I didn't know what to expect because it was a new format, new year. We didn't know. None of us knew what to expect. But throughout the whole fourth quarter and at the end of the game, everybody was like, that was pretty damn fun.
Yeah, it really was. Hey, Mike, tonight we have an Atlanta United match, CONCACAF. I'm just going to tell you guys, because we were talking about this, Bo and I said, listen, I don't know a lot about this Honduras team. I really don't know a lot about our squad. Let's be honest. We got a lot of new faces. I want to see what we look like. We'll tell you more about this tomorrow, but I really don't know enough going into this match to say, yeah, this is what's going to happen, or this is how I feel about it.
Well, they're one of the best teams in that league, because remember, this is like the champions. Either you played in your championship game, or you're defending champion. So these are guys that are from the big city in Honduras, and I'm not trying to butcher the name. Tegucigalpa. Anyway, that's where they're playing, Carl. These dudes have been in the CONCACAF Champions League before. They're 3-9-3, second most successful club in Honduras, 17 league titles, if you want to know who these guys are. So we'll see. They're going to be down there in the stadium. They packed light, get the team in there, get the team out. I know that Miles Robinson, they're saying it's not long-term worries, concerns about the leg, but he is not going to participate. So we're not going to have one of our best, actually the best defender on the team. But we know that these guys aren't that good defensively either, from what Jason Longshore and Felipe Cardenas have told us from Athletic. Hard part is, where do I find this? So whether you go to a Fado or a Brew House and Little 5 Points, you got to find somebody who's got this, because unfortunately, because MLS and CONCACAF aren't on the same page, best way to find it is U.S. on Fox Soccer Plus. There's also a Spanish option, or you just listen to us on 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, 9:30 pregame, kick is at 10 tonight. And that gets back to my point. It's not just, okay, I want to watch it. Where are you watching it? I know some people are going to meet up. I saw some tweets yesterday, and as I said, we'll put the word out today. If you're a bar that's carrying this,
right,
tweet at us, let us know, and we'll let people know. Again, we're not, you know, they don't pay us anything. We're just trying to get people to know where they can go find this game tonight, specifically as CONCACAF gets underway.
And then next week we'll be out at, Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, because we'll be playing the second leg coming up next week, right here on a Tuesday up there at Fifth Third Bank Stadium. It is the headlines here on Dukes and Bell. We usually have the NBA All-Star Game the same day, Carl, as the Great American Race, the Daytona 500, but it was rain, and plenty of it, to the point where they could not get the race in. They got about 20 laps under their belt, and they had to shut it down. And I can speak for our producer, Bo Morgan, because we've been at these when they have these long rain delays. It's the worst.
It is.
And unfortunately, because it is the Super Bowl of the sport to start the season, it's not like they can say, look, we know rain's coming. We're going to start it at 11. Every now and again, the Indy 500 will move it up because they anticipate weather to get it in. NASCAR never does that. So you had the President lands, which is kind of cool. So Air Force One go flying around. And then you had that whole motorcade, and then it started pouring rain. So the big story, though, of course, once they get the race in, unbelievable finish after pretty lackluster racing. The last 20 laps, it became a demolition derby. Denny Hamlin wins his third race, second in a row, three of the last five for Denny Hamlin. But the problem was when these cars, Carl, get so bunched up, you know, and now it's still a form of plate racing. They've changed how they limit the airflow and the fuel, but you're still going to get cars all bunched up. By now, you guys have seen the video where Ryan Newman goes airborne, but I've never seen a car come down on its roof to get submarined by another car, and that's why it was just so scary. There are no updates other than it's not a life-threatening injury. We've been looking at NASCAR and everything else, but there's nothing new on Ryan Newman's condition right now at Halifax Medical Center, although they say it's not life-threatening.
The thing about the delay is you're all amped up if you're a race fan to watch, and then you go away, and then Monday happened, and you might have had plans.
Right.
Your kids are out of school. I mean, all of a sudden, Mike, the viewership shrinks, and the hardcore fans are going to be there, but the novice fans, those people who had planned on tuning in and watching, those are the people that go away, and that's the part that hurts the numbers. I said to Bo, I don't know what the numbers were yesterday. We'll see. But unfortunately, this crash has a lot of people paying attention to it now because, again, it happened at the end of the race, and we only wish the best that he's able to recover. It was glad to hear what's not life-threatening.
Right. But here's the thing, man. You go basically 200-some-odd laps, nothing happens. You know what I mean? 180 laps, I should say, nothing happens. Then you get the big wreck at the end. It just, to me, it's almost like it's the old joke about an NBA game. You only have to watch the last 2 minutes. Well, that's kind of what NASCAR has become. Either way, they're still tinkering with it. It's not ideal. Plate racing, that includes Talladega, which will be here later in the spring. You see these all the time. This time, it was a really scary event.
Yeah, and I'll be honest. Once the rain delay happened, I didn't watch any of it.
No, I landed last night and I found out about the accident and saw it. But I mean, I've lost all interest in NASCAR because they've messed with the sport for so long. And it's a shame that it takes something that's this serious as an accident to get people talking about it on a Tuesday.
If you're just joining us, more on the Braves and the extensions for Brian Snitker and Alex Anthopoulos coming out of spring training yesterday. And it was big news, obviously. But I think it's something that the organization should have done. And again, you don't want a lame duck manager, but I know that's something, if you're just jumping in today and listening for the first time, it's something we talked about and more on what Nick Markakis had to say about the Astros sign-stealing scandal. All right, coming up, he says he has leverage, and he feels like he's got big leverage. What are we talking about? Stay right there. We'll tell you next on Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.